Hey guys, horror fan here, and welcome back to my podcast on Anchor. Today's horror talk will be very, very crazy, and also it has been literally known and worldwide, really crazy. I'm not sure if you guys heard of Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Yes, but I'm gonna do the horror talk of the murder of Dee Blanchard, her mother. On June 14, 2015, sheriff's deputies in Greene County, Missouri, United States, found the body of Claudine D.D. Blanchard, maiden name Petrie, born May 3, 1967, in Chuck Bay, Louisiana, face down in the bedroom of her house just outside Springfield, lying on the bed in a pool of blood from stab wounds inflicted several days earlier. There was no sign of her daughter, Gypsy Rose, who, according to Blanchard, had chronic conditions including leukemia, asthma, and muscular dystrophy, and had the, quote, mental capacity of a 7-year-old due to brain damage, end quote, suffered from premature birth. After reading troubling Facebook posts earlier in the evening, concerned neighbors notified the police, reporting that Dee Dee might have fallen victim to foul play and that Gypsy Rose, whose wheelchair and medications were still in the house, might have been abducted. The following day, police found Gypsy Rose in Wisconsin, where she had traveled with her boyfriend, Nicholas Goldjohn, whom she had met online. When investigators announced that she was actually an adult and did not have any of the physical and mental health issues which her mother claimed she had, public outrage over the possible abduction of a disabled girl gave way to shock and some sympathy for Gypsy Rose. Further investigation found that some of the doctors who had examined Gypsy Rose had found no evidence of the claimed disorders. One physician suspected that Dee Dee had Munchausen syndrome by proxy, a mental disorder that causes a parent or other caretaker to exaggerate, fabricate, or induce illness in a person under their care to obtain sympathy or attention. Dee Dee had changed her name after her family, who suspected she had poisoned her stepmother, confronted her about how she treated Gypsy Rose. Nonetheless, many people accepted her situation as true, and the two benefited from the efforts of charities such as Children's Mercy Hospital, Habitat for Humanity, Ronald McDonald House, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Dee Dee had been making her daughter pass herself off as younger and pretend to be disabled and chronically ill, subjecting her to unnecessary surgery and medication, and controlling her through physical and psychological abuse. Mark Feldman, an international expert on factitious disorders, stated that this was the first case he had experienced in which an abused child killed an abusive parent. Gypsy Rose pleaded guilty to a second-degree murder and is serving a 10-year sentence. After a brief trial in November 2018, Goldjohn was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So, her body was discovered on June 14, 2015, 7 years ago. Type was murder by stabbing, matricide. Motive for Gypsy Rose to escape abuse by Dee Dee Blanchard. So, yeah, her mother was abusing her own child, physical and psychological. Really crazy. Only one death. Gypsy Rose and Nicholas Goldjohn were convicted. For Gypsy Rose, she pleaded guilty. For Goldjohn, guilty on both accounts. Gypsy Rose was convicted of second-degree murder. Goldjohn was convicted of first-degree murder, armed criminal action. Gypsy was sentenced to 10 years in prison, but she was eligible for parole as early as December next year, actually. For Goldjohn, he was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, plus 25 years. So, but yeah. Now Gypsy Rose, she was born on July 27, 1991. She is 31 years old, but she's so small. She's 4'1", of course, so obviously, yeah. Her father, Rod Blanchard, I'm not sure if he knew about it, but I'm not sure exactly. But her father has since started an online petition to help reduce her sentence in light of the many years of abuse that Gypsy endured. I'm not sure if he knew about his wife, like, I'm not sure exactly, so, yeah. Oh, wow, Dee Dee was 24. Because Gypsy, they named the do they named their daughter Gypsy Rose because Claudine liked the name Gypsy, and Rod was a fan of guns and roses. Okay, never mind. But shortly before Gypsy Rose's birth in July 1991, the couple separated when Rod realized he, quote, got married for the wrong reasons, end quote. And that he did. Good job, dude. Oh, frick. But still, like, really freaking crazy. Like, I mean, listen, I mean, I never knew about this. I mean, like seriously, like, goddamn, it's crazy. So before I get on to the horror talk of the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard, don't forget to follow me on Anchor and Spotify. Let's get on to the horror talk of murder of Dee Dee Blanchard. Dee Dee's background, early life, and marriage of Dee Dee Blanchard. Dee Dee was born as Claudine Petrie in Chack Bay, Louisiana, near the Gulf Coast in 1967, and grew up with her family in nearby Golden Meadow. Blanchard was one of five children of Claude Anthony Petrie Sr. and Emma Louise Gisclair. Relatives recalled that she had a habit of stealing from her family, which they speculated was a form of retaliation when, quote, things didn't go her way, end quote. At some point early in her adult life, she worked as a nurse's aide. The family expressed suspicion that in 1997, 25 years ago, she might have killed her own mother by denying her food. Oh wow, that's insane. Oh, Rod was 17. He was still a teenager, but she was older than him. Wait, 17? Like six? Wait, no, wait, no. No, sorry. 7 years apart. Rod resisted Claudie's efforts to get him to return, and she took her newborn daughter to live with her family. Childhood of Gypsy. I'm not sure if Gypsy ha was is still in contact with her father. I believe she is, but I'm not sure if her father visited her when she was still a baby. I'm not sure exactly. According to Rod, okay, never mind, who remained involved with his daughter at this point, thank God. By the time Gypsy was three months old, her mother was convicted that the infant had sleep apnea and began taking her to the hospital, where repeated overnight stays with a sleep monitor and other tests found no sign of the condition. Okay, Claudine subsequently became convinced that Gypsy had a wide range of health issues, which she attributed to an unspecified chromosomal disorder. At some point, her mother claimed that Gypsy had muscular dystrophy and made her use a walker. And I'm pretty sure her father didn't believe his former wife. Gypsy stated that when she was 7 or 8, she was riding on her grandfather's motorcycle when they were involved in a minor accident where she obtained an abrasion on her knee. Her mother stated the doctors had given her a wheelchair, which she would need to use. Really? Wow. Gypsy often went with her parents to Special Olympics events. Oh, okay, that's good. In 2001, when Dee Dee claimed Gypsy was 8, but she was actually 10, she was named the honorary queen of the Corée of Mid-City, a child-oriented parade held during Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Gypsy seems to have stopped going to school after the second grade, possibly even as early as kindergarten. Her mother homeschooled her after that, supposedly because her illnesses was so severe. This was later believed to have been an attempt to isolate Gypsy to further her abuse. That means isolation. So basically, isolated her from other people. Gypsy managed to learn to read on her own through the Harry Potter books. Okay, that's nice. While Gypsy's father, Rod, had remarried, Claudine moved in with her father and stepmother. They would later claim that when preparing food for her stepmother, Claudine would poison it with Roundup weed killer. Where the hell did she get that from? Or it's called, or aka herbicides, leading to her own chronic illness during this period. During that time, she was arrested for several minor offenses, including writing bad checks, not surprising. When the Petres began to regularly confront her about her treatment of Gypsy and express suspicion about her role in her stepmother's health, she lived with Gypsy for the New Orleans suburb of Sildelli. Her stepmother's health returned to normal shortly afterward, thank God. In Sedell, she and Gypsy lived in public housing. Public housing, it's a form of housing tenure in which the property is usually owned by a government authority, either central or local. They pay their bills with Rod's child support payments and public assistance Claudine had been granted due to her daughter's supposed medical conditions. They spent most of their time visiting various specialists, mostly at Tulane Medical Center and the Children's Hospital of New Orleans, seeking treatment of the illnesses Claudine claimed Gypsy had, which she now said included hearing and vision problems. Okay. While a muscle biopsy found no sign of the muscular dystrophy Claudine insisted Gypsy had, she was successful in securing treatment for her daughter's other purported issues. After she told doctors Gypsy had seizures every few months, they prescribed anti-seizure medication. Several surgeries were performed on her during this time, and Claudine regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room for minor ailments. Wow, faking a surgery. Dude, what the fuck? Really? Come on, that's bullshit. It's unbelievable. After the Hurricane Katrina devastated the area in August 2005, Claudine and Gypsy left their ruined apartment for shelter in Covington, set up for individuals with special needs. Claudine said Gypsy's medical records, including her birth certificate, had been destroyed in the flooding. A doctor there from the Ozarks suggested they relocate to her native Missouri, and the next month they were airlifted there. Moved to Missouri. At first, Claudine and Gypsy lived in a rented home in Arowa, in a southwestern area of the state. During their time there, Gypsy was honored by the Olay Foundation, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube recipients, as its 2007 Child of the Year. Yeah. Also, Dee Dee also pretended that Gypsy couldn't eat and had like a tube or something. Like, what the frick? In 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and hot tub as part of a larger project on the north side of Springfield to the east, and the two moved there. The story of a single mother with a severely disabled daughter forced to flee Katrina's devastation received considerable local media attention, and the community often pitched in to help the woman who now went by Claudinia Blanchard, and whom they knew as Dee Dee. The outpouring of support included many charitable contributions. In Louisiana, mother and daughter had at most availed themselves of occasional stays in Ronald McDonald houses during medical appointments. Seriously. In Missouri, they received free flights to see doctors at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, free trips to Walt Disney World, and backstage passes to Miranda Lambert concerts, where she was frequently photographed with a singer via the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Rod also continued to make monthly child support payments of $1,200, as well as sending Gypsy gifts and occasionally talking to her on the phone. During one call on her 18th birthday, he recalls Dee Dee telling him not to mention her daughter's real age, since, quote, she thinks she's 14, end quote, but she was actually 18, so she was actually an adult already. Man, this mother real, she's, what the fuck? That's crazy. Rod and his second wife regularly hoped to get to Springfield and visit, but for a variety of reasons, Dee Dee would change plans. She told her neighbors in Springfield that Gypsy Rose's father was an abusive drug addict and alcoholic who had never come to terms with his daughter's health issues and never sent them any money. Really? I believe she said that because she didn't want her former husband to be near Gypsy, and she also wanted her daughter to never see her father again. I think her father was a good father. What the fuck? And he still is to this day, thank goodness. At least Gypsy still has her dad, of course, hopefully. Many people who met Gypsy were charmed by her. Her 5-foot height, nearly toothless mouth. Yeah, she nearly had no teeth, literally. Large glasses and high childlike voice reinforced the perception that she had all the problems her mother claimed she did. Bullshit. Gypsy often wore wigs or hats to cover her baldness. Her mother regularly shaved Gypsy's head to mimic the hairless appearance of a chemotherapy patient, allegedly telling Gypsy that since her medication would eventually cause her hair to fall out, it was best to shave it in advance. When they left the house, Dee Dee opted often took an oxygen tank and feeding tube with them. Gypsy was fed the children's liquid nutrition supplement, Pediasure, well into her 20s. In her 20s? That's like Abbott Laboratories. So, yeah. However, now here is what now is really, really pissed me off. Dee Dee used physical abuse to control her daughter, always holding her daughter's hand in the presence of others. Whenever Gypsy said something that either suggested she was not genuinely sick or seemed above her purported mental capabilities, Gypsy recalls that her mother would give her hand a very tight squeeze. When the two were alone, Dee Dee would strike her with her open hands or a coat hanger because Dee Dee didn't want her daughter to lie. Or, no, not lie, but tell the truth, actually, which is like, what the fuck? Medical interventions continue. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox. What? Oh, that's interesting. Then extracted to get altogether to control her drooling, which Gypsy later claimed her mother had induced by using a topical anesthetic to numb her gums before doctor visits. The lack of salivary glands coupled with side effects of the anti-seizure medication she was given caused Gypsy's already few teeth to decay to the point that the majority of her front teeth were extracted and replaced by a bridge. Tubes were implanted in her ears to control her myriad of purported ear infections. That was a lot. So basically, of the anti-seizure medication, it caused Gypsy's few teeth to be decayed. Damn, that's crazy. Now, the suspicions of deceptive behavior. Bernardo Flasterston, pediatric neurologist who saw Gypsy in Springfield, became suspicious of her muscular dystrophy diagnosis. He ordered MRIs and blood tests, which found no abnormalities. He told Dee Dee on a follow-up visit after seeing Gypsy stand and support her own weight, quote, "I don't see any reason why she doesn't walk," end quote. Flasterstein noted that Dee Dee was not a good historian. After contacting Gypsy's doctors in New Orleans, he learned that Gypsy's original muscle biopsy had come back negative, undermining Dee Dee's self-reported diagnosis of muscular dystrophy, as well as her claim that all Gypsy's records had been destroyed by flooding. He suspected the possibility of Munch-Onsen syndrome by proxy. Dee Dee contrived to gain access to Flasterstein's notes and subsequently stopped taking Gypsy to see him. Flasterstein did not follow up by reporting Dee Dee to social services. He said he had been told by other doctors to treat the pair with, quote, golden gloves, end quote, and doubted the authorities would believe him anyway. True. But then in 2009, an anonymous caller told the police about Dee Dee's use of different names and birth dates for herself and her daughter and suggested Gypsy was in better health than claimed. Officers who performed the resulting wellness check accepted Dee Dee's explanation that she used the misinformation to make it harder for her abusive ex-husband to find her and Gypsy without talking to Rod, and reported that Gypsy seemed to genuinely be mentally disabled. The file was closed. I doubt that her father was abusive. What the fuck? Like, come on. Seriously, who does that? Because she didn't want to get in trouble. She didn't want to go to jail. Well, unbelievable. Okay. Dee Dee seems to have at least once forged a copy of her daughter's birth certificate, moving her birthday to 1995 to bolster claims that she was still a teenager, even though she was actually born in 91. Gypsy said in a later interview that for 15 years, she was not sure of her real age. She sometimes also claimed that the original had been destroyed during the post-Katrina flooding. Dee Dee did keep another copy with Gypsy's actual birth date. Her daughter recalls seeing it during one of their hospital visits and becoming confused. Dee Dee told her it was a misprint. That's nice. Since 2001, Gypsy had attended science fiction and fantasy conventions, sometimes in costumes, since she could blend in, even in her wheelchair. At an event in 2011, she made what may have been an escape attempt that ended when her mother found her in a hotel room with a man she had met online. Oh, wow. Again, Dee Dee produced the paperwork giving Gypsy's false younger birthday and threatened to inform the police. Yeah, she was 20 back then. Almost adult, kind of. I'm not sure. Oh, Gypsy recalls that afterward, Dee Dee smashed her computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same to her fingers if she ever tried to escape again. She also kept Gypsy lashed and handcuffed to her bed for 2 weeks. Dee Dee later told Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with the police claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent, leading Gypsy to believe that if she had attempted to go to the police for help, they would not believe her. Oof. Sometime around 2012, Gypsy, who continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed to avoid her tightened supervision, made contact online with Nicholas Gojon, a man around her age from Big Bend, Wisconsin. She said they met on a Christian singles group. Gojon had a criminal record for indecent exposure and had a history of mental illness, sometimes reported as dissociative identity disorder. He also had autism spectrum disorder. Oh, that's interesting. In 2014, Gypsy confided to a 23-year-old neighbor, Aaliyah Woodmansey, who, unaware that Gypsy was closer to her own age, consider herself a big sister, that she and good Gojon had discussed eloping and even had chosen names for potential children. Gypsy, who had five separate Facebook accounts, and Gojon flirted online. Their exchanges sometimes using BDSM elements. What's that mean? Oh, that, okay, that's nice. It means bondage, discipline, dominance, and submission, sadomasochism, and other related interpersonal dynamics. Got it. Which Gypsy has since claimed was more what he was interested in, probably. Would Mansi try to talk her out of it, so thinking Gypsy was too young and possibly being taken advantage by an online sexual predator? Guys, look, just to be clear for you guys, what was her name? Oh yeah, Aaliyah. She didn't know that Gypsy was already older. She was like 24 too or 23. So obviously, yeah. She considered Gypsy's plans just, quote, fantasies and dreams, and nothing like this would ever really take place, end quote. Despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her from using the internet, which went as far as destroying her daughter's phone and laptop, Gypsy maintained contact with Gojon, who saved printouts of her post until 2014. Uh-oh, that's not good. The next year, Gypsy arranged and also paid for Gojon to meet her mother in Springfield. Her plan was for him to just casually bump into her while she and Dee Dee were at a movie theater, both of them in costume, and apparently strike up a relationship that way, and then later for her to introduce him to her mother. As soon as they did meet in person for the first time, Gojon says Gypsy led him to the bathroom where the two had sex. And the first time that Gypsy was, she had sex for the first time. The two continued their internet interactions and began developing their plan to kill Dee Dee. Because I think Gypsy told Nicholas of how she was being treated by her own mother, of course. Now the murders. So, Gojon returned to Springfield in June 2015, arriving while Gypsy and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. After they had returned home and Dee Dee had gone to sleep, he went to the Blanchard house. Gypsy led him into the home and allegedly gave him duct tape, gloves, and a knife, that with the understanding that he would use it to murder Dee Dee. Gypsy hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so that she would not have to hear her mother's screaming. Gojon then stabbed Dee Dee 17 times in her back while she was asleep. Afterwards, of course, the two had sex in Gypsy's room and took $4,000 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house, mostly from her ex-husband's child support checks. They fled to a motel outside Springfield where they stayed for a few days while planning their next move. During that time, they were seen on security cameras at several local stores. Gypsy said at that point she believed the two had managed to get away with their crime. Not exactly, actually. They mailed the murder weapon back to good to go to John's home in Wisconsin to avoid being caught with it. They took a bus there. Several witnesses who saw the pair on the way to the Greyhound station noted that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and walked unassisted. Investigation and arrests. Well, before we get on to that, there is videos, of course. So there's like four parts. So the first one, part one, 13 million views. Not surprising.
Home movies capture the vibrant spirit of a young teenage girl.
So where are you going today?
I'm going to Children's Mercy Hospital to see my dentist. Or my teeth.
Full of enthusiasm and effervescence, but behind the smiles, life for Gypsy Blanchard and her mother, Dee Dee, is one replete with hardships and challenges. Gypsy is in a wheelchair.
They were local darlings. I mean, they were the shining star in this town of people who can outlast adversity and get through everything.
The mother-daughter duo are local celebrities, the subject of countless local news profiles and articles.
Gypsy and her multiple illnesses and diseases, leukemia, muscular dystrophy. She had learning disabilities and not been able to be out of a wheelchair since she was 5 years old. And so the community really embraced them.
Dee Dee's originally from Louisiana, a one-time beauty queen.
Really a beauty queen? What the hell?
And nurse's aide. She marries Rod Blanchard at age 24. Together, the couple welcomes a beautiful baby girl.
Perfectly healthy, pretty little baby, named her Gypsy Rose. I was excited and very scared. I'm not gonna lie, I was scared. I'm 18 years old and I got a baby here, so.
But she was
Oh, that was her father speaking.
Beautiful and perfectly healthy.
Yeah, she was. Nothing wrong with her. She looked perfect.
Yeah, obviously.
See you. You wanna blow me a kiss? Very good.
But the relationship was far from perfect, and the couple broke up.
Not long after, Dee Dee was saying that she was sick, problems sleeping, epilepsy, and it just progressed from there. Leukemia, paralyzed, muscular dystrophy, and she would have seizures. Gypsy was probably 7, 8 years old. She's in a wheelchair now. She needs a feeding tube.
Was Dee Dee a good mother?
I told Dee Dee she was the best mother. There's no way I can do what you're doing. You have a sick child. It's constantly 24/7 taking care of her and everything. I mean, I always praised her and told her, good job.
Rod and his new wife, Christy, would have sporadic visits with Gypsy, but they are never alone.
You know, all the visits, Dee Dee had to be there the whole time. Something never felt right about it. Dee Dee was so controlling of her.
This is the last photo taken of Rod with his daughter before fate would seemingly deal Gypsy and Dee Dee another cruel blow.
Wow, that's crazy.
Leaving the pair displaced and depleted by Hurricane Katrina in 2005.
In some areas, the water is now 20 feet deep.
Their home ravaged by the storm and floodwaters. They took refuge at this nearby special needs shelter.
I've learned from Dee Dee was...
That's Laura Nixdorf. She was Gypsy and Dee Dee's friend.
That they were homeless, no place to go. So Mercy Hospital loaded them up on the helicopter and threw them up.
They were evacuated here to Springfield, Missouri, birthplace of Route 66, a tight-knit community in the buckle of the Bible Belt. With Dee Dee, a full-time caregiver, they're forced to piece together a life, largely from donations, disability payments, and child support from Gypsy's dad.
Obviously.
A turning point seems to be when the family gets this home, located at the aptly named intersection of Hope Road and Volunteer Way.
I remember my mom had gave me this little glass house, and she said, "This one day this will be real." And now it finally is.
The Blanchards moved into that house built by Habitat for Humanity. A wheelchair ramp was built just for her.
She was like one of the happiest people I had ever met, and yet she was the most sick that I had ever met at the same time.
In between hospital stays, Gypsy frequently jet sets across the country. Ball games, galas, the most magical place.
I'm gonna do part two, 1 second.